Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dogs and Hogs with Russ Tanner. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I will be your co-host for the next 20, 30, 50, 180 minutes. I have no idea how long we're going to go tonight. We're just going to ask Russ Tanner a bunch of stuff and get his thoughts on it. He is the former Georgia Bulldogs offensive lineman. I am the fat guy sitting behind the screen here. So that's
what we do. Hey, we're about neither one of us as fat as we used to be, though, baby.
That is true. That is true. So, and of course, I wear slimming clothes. You got the black on. You're looking svelte there, my friend.
Right. This is
barbecue. Where's that?
Man, Lexington, Texas. For anybody that's ever watched the Netflix like special barbecue pitmaster or something like that, it's where the 85-year-old lady Tootsie is the pitmaster. You get in line at like 3 a.m. on Saturday morning to eat barbecue. Yes, I did that. So it was great.
I love it. And we hit up your latest barbecue joint, latest barbecue review here when we get to the end of the show. First and foremost, I want to start off with, I guess, the breaking news. Christian Miller, Georgia defensive lineman, an up-and-coming defensive lineman at Georgia, sky's the limit with this kid, he put on his Instagram a graphic saying that he intends to enter the transfer portal. I don't know that he's in there officially yet. We've seen a couple guys put their names out there, say that they intend to enter the portal, and then all of a sudden negotiations or second thoughts or something come back, and they don't do it. But this could be a situation where Georgia loses a very good defensive lineman. Russ, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I've actually got thoughts on this. I don't have thoughts on a lot of things, but this is an area I actually have thoughts on because, I think everybody should withhold reservation, you know, reserve judgment a little bit right now until we know actually what comes out and what happens. Because typically the way that we fans respond to the situation is if the kid goes to the portal and transfers to a team we don't like, which he can't exactly. He can't transfer to an SEC school right now, by the way, and not in play this coming year, so that kind of takes care of that for him. But if he goes to an Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, a place like that, then we're done with him. We never want him to begin with. He's probably a cancer on the team. If he goes in the portal and ends up getting a call from Kirby, a la Amarius Mims last year, comes back, plays
Julian great. Humphrey this year.
Yeah, Julian Humphrey this year. Then you take him back with open arms like, man, that guy's a dang good dog. Open arms, come back, baby. I mean, you know, if we were all 19 or 20 at some point. We all didn't have our heads straight at some point. And, you know, and that's where we're at as fans. So let's recognize going in right now, we don't have enough information to make a judgment on this that makes us feel good. But if you break the situation down, and you and I were talking before we came on the show, and I hadn't even seen this today. It's been a busy day in the Tanner household. So I hadn't even been on the Twitters and none of that stuff yet. Like, I get it from a kid's standpoint. Like, us old, crusty people tell people to get off our lawn, say, hey, these kids should keep their word. They've come to the University of Georgia. They've signed at their school. They should stay there and keep their head down and keep plugging. Can you believe they get $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month? Back when, in my day, when I was playing, not only do we not get money, we had to pay money and then work a side job spreading pine straw just to be able to go to Steve Marino's and get a sub, like, right? Like, that's our attitude with all this stuff.
Steve Marino subs.
we've worked that in 2 weeks in a row, by the way.
You're killing me.
So, but the problem is, if you recognize the situation these guys are in now, put them in your situation, if you're like most of us normal schlubs working a 9-to-5, whatever, and you can float your name out there to a competitor, somebody that does the same thing you do, selling the same widget that you sell for a different company, just because you think, hey, I might get my boss to give me a 20% raise, just about everybody on here would think about doing that at some point in time. So it's hard to knock a kid when the system out there has zero rules, zero regulation, zero guardrails, no guidelines as far as how it goes and what it goes. I have no idea what Christian Miller makes. He's probably pretty well paid, but at the same time, he's in a situation now where if you're a D lineman for Georgia, Christian Miller, you look at him, you look at Jordan, the Davis kid. Jordan Hall. You know, those are kind of the two guys we've all looked at as hopefully what we think is going to be the next breakout star. He's got leverage right now. He can put his name in the portal and get a lot of money from teams that struggle on defensive line and be the star, be the stud there. So they also know that a lot of times the coaches, the teams, the NIL, the collectives, whoever's making the decision about where to give him money, they're not going to just go around and offer more money to people who are on the team and being happy. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's the way it's always been. So if you are underpaid for where you're at, if you think you could get more, if you're wanting to test the waters and see where it's at, put your name in the portal or say you're going to get in the portal, and next thing you know, you may get another $5,000 a month, and then everybody's hunky-dory, everybody's happy. If you think for a second, like Kirby and his team gets upset and gets their drawers in a wad about it, you're mistaken. If they end up paying a guy another $5,000 a month or whatever it is, and he comes back and is the difference in us beating Auburn this year, then hard feelings go away when you win football games. That's just the way it is. So I don't knock a kid who is seeing opportunity out there and trying to better himself and make money for his family or whatever it may be, because you never, this world's hard, man. Like, I've learned this as a 41-year-old man. It's hard to make money. Like, it is hard to make money in life. Okay. And these guys have opportunity to make serious money in college. So if it is an idea where he's putting his name in the portal to see what's out there and see if Kirby and the staff will come back and get the NIL, the collectives, to bring a little bit more in, you know, so what? Good for him. You know, if there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, well, so be it. I mean, the only reason I would knock a kid right now putting his name in the portal is if he's scared of competition. And, you know, we don't have any reason to believe that Christian Miller is scared of competition. Nothing's ever come out saying anything negative about the kid. You've never heard chatter about him. I mean, you're around the beat writers, the team, the people all the time. I mean, I don't think he's a kid we've heard anything negative about, any chatter about. So we got to reserve judgment and see. Again, we harp on this every week. We could do an hour a week on how much the current system is broken between the portal and the NIL stuff with no regulation. And I am anti-regulation in general, but there's got to be some kind of guidance up there. It's just not a, it's not a level playing field, and it doesn't make it fair for the coaches.
That's a good point when you talk about the some sort of guidelines. I mean, even the NFL has them. You can't have a Caden Proctor situation where you leave the University of Alabama, you go to Iowa for 4 or 5 months, right, and go back to Alabama. That's bullshit. I'm sorry.
Yep.
That's garbage. It just ticks me off. The coaches do this all the time. It was a Notre Dame coach who was floating when Kirby Smart was getting the job. The Notre Dame agent was floating for a Notre Dame coach was floating some stuff towards us. And we knew in our heart of hearts that this is just an agent play to get his client's name, yeah, onto Kirby's staff to get some money. We told him, hey, this is what we're hearing. But we told people we had low confidence in him. We're like, we, yeah, don't know about this. And sure enough, like 30 minutes or not, excuse me, the next day, we're like, hey, by the way, Sam Pittman is coming to Georgia. You know, we broke, right, the big news there. And then Jim Chaney is going to be his offensive coordinator. And I mean, we broke the real news, but we warned people, hey, and apparently Kirby and his staff were like laughing their asses off because they saw us chasing this Notre Dame rumor. You know, I'm like, you could have called us and told us it was a rumor.
Yeah, but let me know, man. Let a brother know.
Do we see that all the time? We've seen Corey Raymond and a guy from Kentucky. They come and visit Georgia and they basically make it known that they're this close to getting a job, not Corey Raymond, but some another defensive line, right, secondary coach, basically saying, look, it becomes very public that they interviewed. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes, the next step is, you know, they're in negotiations and all of a sudden they get a raise from the school they're at. Yep. So coaches do it all the time. And when they stay, you're right, there is no ill will. There are no bad feelings. There are no that SOB. Do you think anybody's mad at Julian Humphrey? Putting his name in and then staying in Georgia, he's probably, yep, going to be your starting cornerback,
yep,
and he's going to be amazing at it, you know. So, it, to your point, that's not going to happen. No one's going to be mad if Christian Miller stays. I was told by one source, you know, we had one person say, "Oh man, he's just trying to bump up his value." We've also had other people saying, "Look, he's been on the fence for days, and Georgia's drawn a hard line in the sand when it comes, mm-hmm, to numbers." And there are a couple others that might go into the portal because Georgia's not going to keep doing this whole, mm-hmm, everybody gets a raise thing. And you're right, they don't come around and just hand out raises. I do that with my job. But what is the impetus? I have two reasons why I give my raises to my staff. One, they work hard. I want them to be rewarded for what they do. We give them raises when the site grows, and our site has grown.
Right.
We make money on this YouTube channel. Everybody on the YouTube channel gets paid. I don't get any of it. Yeah, I pay everybody. You know, every make that we do, it goes out to those guys because they're doing extra work. So we do that. The other one is I'm trying to keep up with the market.
Right.
Because if I don't pay my guys going rate on the market, they will go elsewhere. So I'm always trying to be one step ahead of our competitors. We've had a ton of people steal our staff because they know we got the best staffers. They come hire them and then put them in our same market. That's another show for another day. And they compete against us. And I've trained them and I've given them all the tips and all the tricks and they use them against us. But again, it's if they pay them more, I want my guys to get the most. What's also interesting is we're like, okay, well, there's got to be some fix. Did you see what happened with the FTC recently?
No.
They just came out with a ruling saying that non-compete clauses will no longer be enforceable. You can't hire somebody and put in a non-compete.
We like that. I like that.
In my industry, I do, because I know a lot of people who are at a couple other recruiting services who are stuck and they can't leave because they got this non-compete hanging over their head.
Yep.
Because I don't make my guys sign one.
Yeah.
The other outlets do. So I'm like, hey, y'all could come home. But to your point, that could be the thing that we see in the future. It's like, oh, we got to do something. All these transfers are not allowed. Want to bet? The SEC rule where you can't transfer within the SEC, that would almost be the equivalent of a non-compete.
That's
you can't go to Alabama in May. According to the FTC, you probably would be able to. So that is going to be challenged going forward. But with Christian Miller, we, like you said, we don't know the situation there. I do know that this is not a – one person said, well, no big loss. I'm like, it is a big loss.
Right.
Lose him, that's tough. It is a position of need for Georgia, and you just don't find guys that move like that, who are that fast, who could have that kind of impact on the defensive line. And it's your weakest position on the field for 2024, and you just lost a – key contributor. Again, he goes.
So. If he leaves, that's right. So, and it's going to be tough, right? This is a tricky. There's not a good answer to this right now. I mean, we talked about the coach. I think it's a great point to where every Jimmy Sexton client there is, by the way, every single year, their name is floated for a head coaching job somewhere, and that doesn't happen because of schools. People like Jimmy Sexton have proxies to get with people like you and say, hey, just so you know, like Georgia's calling my guy. And you're going to report that because it's news, by the way. It's not a lie.
Absolutely. I mean,
it's great news to know. But a lot of times that's just a money grab. And again, for everybody watching our show, if you've ever sent your resume to a competitor to either go there or see if you can strong arm your boss, hey, bud, look, I got an offer over here. You ain't got to match them, but can I get a bump? Or if you've ever gone and asked for a raise, like you're in the same boat these guys are in. And if you recognize like how messed up this system is right now, the players, by the way, they have the power from the standpoint about they can go in the portal and, you know, basically go request a raise and all that. The flip side of that is, you know, at what point are you going to start seeing schools reducing NIL for players that don't produce, that don't end up meeting the standard for where they're trying to go? And at that point, they're going to hit the portal as well. It's a tricky deal.
Let me interrupt you. We have seen that this spring. There are guys who were told we're cutting what you're getting.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they're not getting that from the schools. Remember, the schools can't pay you directly. But they're like, look, yeah. And all of a sudden, they are in the portal. Or they go to them and say, hey, boss, I want to raise. You know, can you give me more NIL? And they're like, matter of fact, no, we can't. And the contract or the deal that we had with you, that one has been rescinded because, you know, the person who's paying this doesn't feel like you're a good return on investment. You know, you being the poster child for their car dealership isn't doing it. So they've stopped it. So seeing that come up, and there are a lot of guys going to the portal that don't get a new job. They don't get a new spot. There
are
a lot of guys looking around and like, this was a bad idea. So it does come up. Just like coaches leave, they take another job and that one doesn't work out. Then all of a sudden they're an analyst somewhere or coaching high school.
Well, and you're going to see it some, I mean, there's a reason, by the way, that the names enter the portal at this time of year are people like Christian Miller, who know they're NFL talent guys and they can find a spot no matter what. And D-line's probably, we talked about this last week, D-line and wide receiver are positions where you can go in there and make an immediate impact without knowing all the ins and outs of it. So, but there's
guys. See, defensive linemen aren't that bright.
Yeah, I'm saying you could say see ball, get ball, go get them, big boy, and they can do pretty good with that. But, you know, it's tough because – there are going to be people, and there are some, by the way. We know of one, and we're not going to call kids' names out, but there was another defense lineman that transferred from Georgia about a year or so ago that went to Kirby So we've heard and said, hey, I'd like a raise. And Kirby said, bye. So you run that risk if you go in right now and say, hey, where am I at? Can I get a raise on it? So you hope that people like Christian Miller, and I don't know Christian Miller at all, never met the kid, wouldn't know if he came out here.
He is a funny, gregarious kid. I like him. I do.
So he's probably getting guidance from his agent, his crew, whoever's trying to help make good decisions with it on there. And they probably have at least put out feelers to make sure there's other places that will take him if he ends up leaving Georgia, to know where it's at. Because I don't think you're going to bluff Kirby, by the way. I don't think you're going to go in there and play poker and win in that situation. So hopefully they've done their homework. Hopefully they're being smart where they're at. And hopefully they've approached it with Kirby and his staff and the NIL people in the right way, in a mature way, because we've never seen 18, 19, 20-year-old kids have to make these types of decisions, by the way. Haven't seen it. So this is new territory for everybody involved.
I will say that he has a quote, and he apparently did a rap song, Christian Miller did. It's on, if you go to Instagram, look up FATCHR7S, Fat Chris, but the instead of the I, it's a 7. One of the lines is, I can't say no names. That's how you get killed. I can't sleep at night thinking about that NIL. So there is that. Again, very gregarious kid, very entertaining. He was always fun to interview. This is an NIL play. Heard it from, this is not, like you said, a talent thing. You're not, this isn't addition by subtraction. Yes, Georgia is a little over on scholarship numbers, but this is not one they want to lose. You hate to see, I mean, you hope that he's doing it in a smart way, but when you were of that caliber, again, you can put your name in the portal. And if it doesn't, somebody doesn't come running up, because everybody been, oh, he's been tampered with. And yes, we have heard a ton of buzz about USC. So going to the Trojans, I was told that, Barry Alexander put USC in touch with him, or, in other words, if USC needs to get his number, they can go to Barry.
They can get it.
And Barry be like, hey, I know the guy. I've played with him side by side. I got him. So there is that connection, the Barry Alexander connection and the precedent. But if you were, again, with Julian Humphrey, if he put his name in this afternoon, he wouldn't have to have looked in, see if there wouldn't need to be any tampering. Schools will line up to get him. Georgia's trying to go after Rashada.
Yep.
He didn't have to reach out to Georgia beforehand. So let's switch to transition to Jaden Rashada. Now, I want folks to understand Jaden Rashada, who this is. We're talking about him. He's a quarterback. He's at Arizona State. He was originally committed to Miami.
Yep.
And he decommitted and went to Florida. Now, while he was with Florida, and he signed an NIL deal.
Worth how much, supposedly?
$13.8
million. $13
million. With a $500,000 upfront payment, followed by six-figure payments as long as he stayed at Florida. Now, this is according to The Athletic. I haven't seen the contract, but apparently The Athletic did. So good reporting on their end. Now, the collective that was going to pay him this missed its first payment to Rashada, and he pulled out of the agreement in January 2023 and then went to Arizona State where his dad played. He's a big kid, 6'4", 190 pounds. He started the first two games at Arizona State as a true freshman. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty good, yeah.
Won him. First start against Southern Utah. He completed 18 of 31 passes for 236 yards and a couple scores. Beat Oklahoma State in week two. Beat the man out there. 16 of 29 for 169 yards with a touchdown and interception. Then got injured and missed it. So he's only played in like three games. So he has 4 years of eligibility. He went to the portal. He spent all day at the University of Georgia. Was it yesterday? Yeah. He was at the baseball game last night with Kirby Smart. So he's in. He was had breakfast with Mike Bobo and Gummy Van Gorder. Spends all day meeting Kirby and Brandon Streeter. This would be the fourth quarterback that Georgia is looking for. Georgia has three scholarship quarterbacks. They want a fourth. This would seem to be like a perfect situation. But again, what could happen? So give me your thoughts on Jaden Rashad.
Man, I mean, again, super tricky. And by the way, you talk about the Christian Miller stuff going to the portal when he did. Now Jaden Rashad coming in with this short portal window. If they don't get this fixed, this is why we're going to lose people like Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, Dabo Sweeney. This is why you're going to lose them, because they cannot keep this up year round. Like, them dudes got to take vacation. They got families too. And what's typically in all other seasons before the last year or so been an off time. They get through spring. That's the one time the coaches can kind of chill. They may go through spring evaluations, go out to high school visits. But now, I mean, they're having to re-recruit their roster. They're having to recruit the transfer portal again. It's a whole nother recruiting season that was not even on anybody's radar 3 or 4 years ago. So it's crazy. So it's Jaden, right? Jaden with a D? Yeah. Super talented. So anytime you get a kid with that type of talent on at the quarterback position specifically, in a game to where the college football world has turned into, if you don't have a mobile quarterback, he better be really, really good at finding the open guys and getting out quickly, like Carson Beck. Carson Beck is a dinosaur in college football, by the way. There's not many dudes like him anymore that are going to be standing in the pocket, ripping and zipping and finding their guy out there. You look even at the guys being drafted this year, the top few guys on there. Caleb Williams has speed. He's mobile. Jaden Daniels from LSU. Even Drake May from North Carolina. Those guys can all move and run. That's kind of been a big part of their game. So you see a guy like Jaden Rashad, and you see that skill set, and you're like, ooh, he's 6'4", 190, 200 pounds, throws a good ball, really athletic. Like, we will take him. The thing that makes it so tricky here is the roster management situation that you now find yourself in. Because when you start bringing in guys like that, I mean, the person who it slaps in the face the most is Gunnar Stockton, right? And I don't know if it's a slap in Gunnar Stockton's face or not. Gunnar comes across to us, and everything we've seen of him is a guy who is diehard. He's a program guy. He's a hard worker. He's going to put his nose down and follow the same path that Carson Beck did, which is you do your time, you pay your dues, and when it's time to ball, you're the baller. And that's what we all expect from Gunnar Stockton. All of a sudden, now you bring in a guy like Jaden Rashada. Like, what does that do to your locker room dynamic? That's a difficult thing to say. And I'm not knocking Jaden Rashada with that. I mean, you could bring in Mother Teresa's grandson, as far as I'm concerned. But when you bring in somebody else that's a direct competitor to somebody like Gunnar Stockton, who is liked in the locker room, is a hardworking guy that has respect to the guys around him, it's a difficult thing to kind of tiptoe with. Now, these college guys are a lot like professional athletes from the standpoint, like, it's part of the game, you understand that. If you bring in a guy that is an upgrade for your team, or the ball's out and makes you a better team, but you're in position to win something you weren't going to win without him, you get over it. I mean, it hurts for your buddy. You know, you may miss Gunner if he was to leave or something like that, or hate it for him. We've been in that situation before as players. But, you know, what does it do to your locker room? And I think that's the thing you got to kind of look at, because now you're like, is Gunnar Stockton staying? Is Puglisi staying? Because both of those guys, Puglisi may be more apt to look somewhere else than even Gunnar Stockton will be, just because of eligibility and where he's at. So, you know, I don't know where Jaden Rashad is looking. You know, he's probably going around to several different schools right now. I do think this is interesting, and this is on the Dog Man. I saw this yesterday on the Jaden Rashad thread. One of the guys that posts a lot on there, who's pretty much dead on, made the point, saying, look, Georgia's not paying QB1 money to two or three QBs on the roster. Like, nope. You're paying Carson Beck a lot of money right now. We don't even know exactly what his number is, right? But it's a lot.
But I'm not going to share it.
That's fine. We don't know, okay? So let's say that number is, you know, it's got two commas in it, okay? Which it probably has two commas in it. They're not going to pay two people money with two commas in it to play one position. So that to me is the interesting thing about it. And maybe Jaden Rashad is willing to take a haircut this year. Maybe he takes $200,000 instead of $2 million to come in and be on the roster to learn, and it'd be a place like Georgia to where he knows if you win the starting job at Georgia, you're going to be really successful as a quarterback. And that may be what he's doing. So, you know, Kirby is not shy about bringing in competition. I don't think it's a secret to anybody on his team. Like, Gunnar Stockton is not surprised, right? He's not sitting here today like, what? They're bringing in another quarterback? Golly gee willikers, my feelings are so hurt. Like, that's not what he's doing. But it hurts. It stings. You don't like it when you're coming in and have somebody coming in going to be on your tail, nipping at your heels. But you kind of just put your head down and work. So I think this is probably one of the most interesting flirtations that we have seen from Kirby in the NIL transfer portal era. Is this Jaden Rashada deal? Like, what's, I don't know. Like, I don't know the answers right now, but I think it's super interesting.
It is very interesting. Rashada is not, this would not be a huge money play. This is not, I mean, remember, he signed for like $13.8 million. It didn't work out. So he's already been promised the moon and it didn't happen. So when his name first popped up, the way everyone got the information, it felt like a agent deal. And that's the first thing I said. I'm like, this feels like a money play.
Right.
Because he didn't go in the portal the first time when everybody else did. He could have spent spring at his new school learning the system, getting a leg up on the competition, fighting for a starting job. He waited till after spring. So wherever he comes in, and classes end this week at Arizona State. They have finals next week. He could be in Athens in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Moving into an apartment, getting a condo, East Campus Village, whatever. So he could be there doing the voluntary workouts, getting in the gym, et cetera. So he could be here quickly.
All right. This is a good question right here. Jason Council, anything different from Gunner, whether or not they bring Rashada versus BBG, Brock Vandegrift, saying UJ not transfer to Kentucky? Yes. It's called, the biggest difference here is class pecking order, where you're at. I don't know the right term. Where you're at in the eligibility-wise. Brock Van Gorder was ahead of Gunnar Stockton. He was an older guy than Gunnar Stockton, a year ahead, if memory serves correctly.
Right.
Jay Rashada is a year behind Gunnar Stockton on there. So, yes, he'll have a learning curve, but if you're a dude, if you're an NFL dude, 6'4", 200 pounds, and can move, and you got shot to come in and be a three-year starter as a Jay Rashada, that's what you're coming to do. So, with the Vandegrift thing, you know, I don't know, Gunnar maybe saw Brock Vandegrift. Maybe he felt like he could beat him out. I don't know what he felt with that, but there's at least a natural progression of upperclassmen to lowerclassmen from Beck to Vandegrift to Gunnar Stockton. Now it's going to go Beck to Gunnar Stockton to Jaden Rashada. So it went from Vandegrift up here in front of him to down here below him. So now the difference was, if Brock Vandegrift beats you out, you're still in line to be the starting quarterback for 1 or 2 years at UGA. If Jaden Rashada beats you out, you ain't never stepping on the foot of Sanford Stadium in the red and black as a starting quarterback if you're Gunnar Stockton. If Rashada beats you out, which, you know, I got confidence in Gunnar Stockton. I don't, you know, I'm pro Gunnar at this point because he's who we got. Like, I like that dude. But, you know, that's the difference between Vandegrift and Rashada is Rashada's behind him eligibility-wise. BBG was in front of him eligibility-wise.
Well, remember, they were getting the where was that other kid coming in?
UNLV.
UNLV, yeah. I was about to say Nevada. So that guy was almost here. So they know they've been trying to get it. Heck, I mean, Gunnar even remembers the whole – he wasn't here, but he watched it happen because he was watching Georgia, you know, the whole Jamie Newman, Dwan Mathis, Stetson Bennett thing, you know, and, hey, they got a transfer quarterback. It didn't work out. He opts out, and it just all goes sideways. So he knows, and Kirby has been very public in saying, I want four quarterbacks on it.
Yep.
We're going to have four. Best one plays. Now, I think if you're Gunner, you're like, well, I know they've been trying to add a quarterback. There's no shock. Mike Boba would have told him, hey, guys, we're getting another one.
Right.
And if you can't beat this guy out, then you'll never make it to the NFL. Because if you can't be the starter at Georgia, you damn sure can't be the starter on the
Pittsburgh,
you know, Steelers. So,
you know, but if I'm Gunner Stockton, though, like the guy, and I don't know this guy. I don't have a student person, it's just a profile. I want them to sign somebody who's got a COVID year left, who, like the Spencer Sanders guy that went to Ole Miss from Oklahoma State, right? He's not going to be out Jackson Dart as a starting quarterback, and he probably wants to get in a coaching or something like that. So he goes to a place, a talented guy that has some experience that you know to put in and not screw it up for you, but wants to coach, wants to stay involved in football, wants to learn a different system, and comes in to be the guy for the backup this year. That's who you hope they sign. You don't want them to sign a guy that had a $13 million deal at Florida a year ago and ended up starting at ASU and is bigger, taller, whatever. So, you know, again, we don't – there's no ink dry on Christian Miller's paper, and there ain't even a – there's nothing dry on Jaden Rashada's paper. So,
I have made a commitment graphic that. Just in case. So
you have made one?
Just in case. Because here's the thing. I'm told that he's Georgia's – if they want him. And Georgia wants him. So I'm expecting him to commit to Georgia. I would put in a future cast. We only do that for the younger college, the high school kids. I would put in a future cast. But, again, I got burned on the Caleb Downs thing because he was actually enrolling at Georgia. We found out that he was going to Ohio State from the president's office because they were putting his classes in. And they're like, oh, wait, we were told to stop putting his classes in.
Right.
I know the person that took him around. I could point him out in on the staff.
Right.
Showed him apartments. And I'm like, yep. That's the guy that was showing him around. I know where he's going to live, you know. Last second, Ohio State steps in. There may be another school that says, look, we need him more than Georgia does. Because Georgia's got their 1, 2, 3 QBs lined up. And he might have an easier path somewhere else. But he wants
to come to Georgia. And he's not in a hurry, by the way, at this point. He doesn't have to be in a hurry. He's got the window. He knows the time on there. If he and Georgia.
Yeah, and even then, you put your name in. You don't have to. Everyone's like, well, he's got to be here before the window closes. No, you just put your name in the window.
Yep.
He can decide in June or July. So.
Yep.
But so, anyway, yeah, getting him would be – go ahead.
It's the wild, wild west. It is wild. Like, I don't – you know, more and more – I mean, we lost Brian McClendon this year to the NFL. I have not – B-Mac's my boy. I love Brian McClendon. I love B-Mac. But I guarantee you, if you got him on here and got an honest moment for him, that the way that college football is now is one of the reasons he's going to the NFL. Because you can have a more stable schedule that works, actually have a life and a family outside of football. So –
you mentioned some of the guys that they would lose, you know, and Kirby took his buddies. I think they went to the Bahamas and then they came back and he was about to take another day or a couple days off or something. He stopped because Jaden Rashad is coming to town. So he took at that long, long baseball game yesterday. Kirby Smart was there showing his potential new quarterback around. Recruiting never stops. That part doesn't bug Kirby.
Right.
He has told multiple people he can out-evaluate, he'll out-recruit, which we've seen. He's out-evaluated. I mean, he's picked some absolute diamonds in the rough. He'll out-develop. How many 3-stars have gone to the first round under Kirby Smart? Yep. That'd be a good graphic. We need to look that up. Figure out how many guys he's taken from 3-star up in the first round. He'll outwork anybody. He'll out-pay attention to details than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't outpay everybody.
That's right.
We had the comment on there earlier from Jason. He's like, Jason King says, this is what coaches like Kiffin don't care about recruiting rankings. Let Georgia develop, and then we'll pay them. I would sit there and let the kid get a couple years at Georgia and make him really good, then come, hey, we got a big NIL. Now, of course, not all the schools can do that. But there are the schools who are desperate. Man, they are desperate, and they will spend. Again, I look at Ohio State. They tripled what Caleb Downs was going to get at Georgia. Tripled. Actually, more than that.
Right.
Because you know how, if you even mention the word Michigan to an Ohio State fan after losing 3 in a row.
Yeah, they nut up.
Well, if you lost to Tennessee, if Georgia lost to Tennessee 3 times in a row, you know how desperate these people will be to end that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Kirby is the victim of his own success in the NIL world right now. You know, you don't have a hungry, starving fan base that's willing to do whatever. Like the year when Georgia, like, blew out everybody's stadium. Every road game we went, Georgia fans took over, right? I mean, because the appetite for success was so great that it was a fever pitch. It was building and building and building and building and building and building and building until you knew you were going to blow the top off, right? And the top blew off and the pressure was released. Everybody's like, whew, all right, that was good. Then we won another one, by the way. Everybody's like, hey. We are king ding-a-ling around here. We are doing good. Can you say that on this show? Probably not.
Yeah, you can.
So you've got a fan base now that can become lackadaisical in a hurry, by the way, because you're like, look, man, we've won 2 in a row. We already give money to this. We give money to this. We give money to the church. We try to help this place over here. You know, I already donate to get my tickets. Like, how much more money can I get? We're already winning. But if we don't win another in the next couple of years, you let Tennessee pass us, you let Ole Miss pass us, Ohio State win some, you'll see the fan base go. So it's a tough thing. Guys like Kirby beats the drum all the time, right? You do not hear about an event that Kirby speaks at, Touchdown Club-wise, Bulldog Club, whatever, anywhere, where he's not saying, we need more money. And he's telling people, and it is a, you know, it's the alarm bell that Georgia fans have to listen to if they want to stay on top of the mountain because,
And I'm not even bagging on Georgia fans. Everyone thinks that, I'm like trying to ring the bell to tell them to spend more. I don't like it. I don't do it.
Yeah.
Here at UGA Sports, we could do a deal where we have a kid come on and we pay him to talk about the team.
Right.
We could do an NIL deal. There are a lot of people in our industry that do that. To me, I won't do it. So I don't put my money where my mouth is because I just journalistically, I'm not for it. I'm not going to.
Right.
It's not how it works. Because then if you're paying a kid, how can you be? Let's say we had to deal with Christian Miller. He would be a perfect co-host for this show.
Yeah.
Offensive lineman, defensive lineman. Y'all could go back and forth, and I would just sit there and just
It'd be great. Stacks
of money on YouTube, while you guys chirp at each other. It would be brilliant. But then if he left or something, or let's say he missed a sack because he just whiffed, I'd be like, well, I can't talk about that. I can't report on that because he's on my payroll. So I don't do that. Now, if Coca-Cola wants to put him on the show and be a sponsor, and he's here because they're paying for it.
We ain't proud.
Yeah, so you see my point. The thing was, let me finish this up. The other schools are more desperate. USC is more desperate. Yeah. They're going to the Big Ten. They are going to get their heads kicked in the Big Ten. It's a lot tougher than the Pac-12. So they are opening the banks. They went after Justice Terry. They're going after this guy. And there are a lot of very wealthy USC grads who are like, we need to be relevant again. We haven't been relevant in a long time. So my whole point is their teams will now outspend you. And Georgia's fans don't want to get involved. They don't want to get in a bidding war. Kirby doesn't want to get in a bidding war. And as long as he doesn't have to, he will stay at Georgia. But if he does have to get in a bidding war for years and years and years, he won't do that.
Yeah, because it's not a level playing field.
And he won't be the only one.
No. It's not, and look, and this same reason is why I cannot believe I've been on here like 3 weeks and I'm talking about the need for regulation with it. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, we can feel good as a Georgia fan base because we can say right now that we don't have the money that the other places do. That's just because we've chosen not to give as a fan base because we've won since the NIL has become a thing, right? But if you look at it and in the reality of it, And I've seen a few of my buddies. I've had this argument. My argument is about there's no parity. There's going to be less and less parity in college football. I've heard people argue there's more parity in college football now because NC State can sign somebody. Nebraska can sign Dylan Raiola, whatever it may be. By the way, funny story, at the National Football Foundation meeting the other night, Holly Rowe was the guest speaker there, and she did a great job. She's entertaining. It was good. But she's just talking about some of her stories from college football. And she's like, Nebraska now, they've got a guy named Dylan Raiola who you're going to see starting. He's going to be a good player. And like the air went out of the room. You're like, Holly, don't bring
Dave
that up.
Dave told me about that.
Don't bring that up. Dang it, I lost my train. Oh, hey, yo, man, why you hit me with that on the show?
Who's this handsome man?
Yeah, I was for some reason, I don't even really know why I got an award, but I got a post-graduate achievement award. So it was an honor. Lauren Smith is a gem, by the way, and helps run the College Football Hall of Fame, the Georgia chapter. And they honor a lot of folks that night. So it was cool. I got to be there. And it was a cool night.
When was that?
Monday night.
All right. So you weren't there for this.
No, I was not there for the 15 inning thriller. That would have been, I had fun. I'm not going to knock the night. It was a really cool, special night and all that. But I do like transitioning to baseball. I'm not a huge baseball fan necessarily. I grew up like everybody else watching the Braves all the time because it's the only thing you can get once we finally got satellite when I was in high school. But beat Clemson. Clemson is good, right? They're ranked.
Hell, they're the number 4 team in the nation. Yeah,
they're really good. And Georgia beat him in, what, the 15th inning? Is that right?
15th inning on a wild pitch.
On a wild pitch. I don't know how many times we went to the game last week where Georgia was playing Ole Miss, actually copped this new hat right here. So,
I like it.
Thank you. Where they had the walk-off grand slam to run rule Ole Miss. That was
awesome. On a Friday night.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I need you may be the guy, but hopefully we've got some fans watching that know this better than I do. I'm not a college baseball aficionado by any means. Can somebody please put Charlie Condon in context for me? Like, how good is his season in the history of great baseball seasons? Because when I was there the other night, his batting average was 482, and he had 24 homers in 30 games or something like that. I mean, something stupid like that. I mean, how good is Charlie Condon?
He's an absolute freak. I was asked if he's the best guy that we've covered. I'm like, I'm putting him up there with Gordon Beckham, you know, like 1A and 1B. He's one of the best. And Florida's got a guy that's really good. He's a star too. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a little nip and tuck when those guys get drafted. You're going to see both of those guys go top five pick. You know, it's very interesting. But Condon, it's funny. It was kind of like when Gordon Beckham in the NCAA Super Regional, everybody stops what they're doing to watch him bat.
You know? Yeah.
Remember, you're old enough to remember the great Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa home run.
Oh, race. Yeah.
Look, you would get a, like, I don't even know if it was a text or a pager or whatever. It would go off. Everybody would come on. Hey, it was on TV. They would interrupt regular programming.
Yeah.
So if you're watching The Love Boat or you're watching, you know, Duke's Ads or whatever, they stop it and would cut to the Cubs game. Sammy Sosa's batting, you know, and you'd watch his at bat because they're going back and forth. It's that kind of thing. So the in year one, and again, we don't know how good this team will be throughout the rest of the year. They've got some really tough teams coming up. But in year one, they're 30-10. And they just beat the number 4 team in the nation. Yep. This isn't normal. We don't talk a whole lot of baseball, but you just got to tip your hat to the baseball team right now that has Charlie Condon doing record setting stuff. And you really just, get out to Foley Field.
Yeah. It's a great atmosphere, by the way. It's fun. And everybody loves a winner. 30-10 is unbelievable. Charlie Condon, when he comes to the plate, the buzz in the stadium picks up, man. Like, it's just fun to be there in that environment. I'm assuming the guys bat 400 in college more often because of the metal bats and stuff like that. Like, nobody in major leagues bats 400, right? We got Ted Williams and then nobody else. But I'm assuming guys bat 400 in college from time to time, the really good guys. But, I mean, he was batting like 470 or 480. I mean, that's got to be up there with some of the greatest seasons in college baseball history, right?
It is. That's one of the top ones up there. And just that slugging percentage is just freaking unreal. So he's fun to watch. What also has been fun to watch this week, and I know you haven't seen this before, so let me add this to it. This is fun to watch. Our friends at FSU have a new ring. It says unconquered, 13-0.
Unconquered.
Hey, they are unconquered, man.
What was the final score of our game with them? I mean, I remember TCU, but it was worse than that.
Norvell, head coach. I love it.
Look, I've got an SEC championship ring. I've got two of them, by the way.
You didn't sell yours.
No. I was not one of those guys that did. I've still got mine. I can show it to you.
I believe you.
So we got those, and we got one in 2002 when we went on to beat Florida State in the Sugar Bowl. And then we got one in 2005 again.
Which that was one of the greatest games, man. That was so fun.
Yeah, and that's the year we lost to West Virginia in the Atlanta Sugar Bowl. So we still got a ring for that, and it was cool.
Y'all were still hungover, don't lie.
there were some issues. We may have overlooked West Virginia in that game. But I think it's that view you got up there right there, by the way. It's the unconquered thing, 13-0, that does – like, that's what the killer is, because you are not unconquered, and you did not have an O after your dash right there. I mean, everybody knows what happened – when you showed up. Everybody knows what happens when you play Georgia. Yeah, oh my gosh, we had a backup punter playing quarterback. Look, dog, you could have brought back Chris Winkie. Charlie Ward may have given him a shot. But otherwise, they weren't beating that Georgia team. They did not have the talent to play with us. So that's pretty – I'd have a hard time wearing that if I was a Florida State guy, saying unconquered 13-0. Like, just put 13 and look, just put 13 and one and put ACC champs on there. I'm fine with that. I would wear that ring, by the way, but don't put
football. I wanted to put 13 and nothing on there. I just put ACC champs.
Yeah, that's fine. I got a problem with that. So.
Or even, hey, even unconquered in the ACC.
You know? Put an asterisk beside that unconquered, please.
When I saw that, I actually tweeted out an asterisk, and that was it. No comment, nothing snarky. I quote tweeted it with an asterisk, and if you know, you know. Speaking of Mark McGwire, there's an asterisk.
Yeah. By the way, I'm actually in the camp that I think Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. I know the performance-enhancing drugs. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of steroids and all that. But the playing field, it's not like they were on an unlevel playing field with everybody else they were playing against back in that day. And those dudes saved baseball, by the way. Baseball was in a bad spot with the fan base going down. And they re-energized the fan base like nobody else ever has. Like, you can say whatever you want to sitting here in 2024, the year of our Lord, you know, on your high, mighty tower, wherever in Georgia you're watching this from, all around the world, and say, I don't like it one bit. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. But when they were in Busch Stadium and they came out and gave each other that, you know, belly punch to each other, that they were doing opposite teams. I mean, that was like God bless America. The anthem was playing in the background. Fireworks are shooting off. And we were together as a country. Yeah. So
I get it. And to me, I never feared any man on a football. No matter how much bigger he was than me, I'm like, we're going to pad up. We're going to scrap whatever sport I was in. I got a Palestinian dad, man. I ain't scared of nobody.
You're tough.
The one thing I could never do, never get over, was stand in a batter's box and have some idiot other kid throw 75, 85 miles an hour at my skull. I mean, I was like, ain't standing here. They still had to hit the ball.
Yeah.
They could be as strong as they want.
Right.
They still had to hit it.
Right.
And you know, the pitchers, they were throwing some junk too, because they didn't want to be the one that gave up the home run. They didn't want to be on that Sports Center top 10 reel, man. They don't want to see their ball going into orbit. So they're throwing, you know, the Vaseline balls, you know, the KY balls. They're throwing all that garbage at them. And, but
yeah,
I'm with you there. This one, this 13-0, this is, you lost by 60.
Right.
If they had played Georgia and lost by 7 and said 13-0 unconquered, I'm like, okay, you are unconquered because you fought.
Right.
You know, you can lose and be unconquered.
Right. Yeah.
You lose by 60 in the worst bowl loss of all time.
All time. Right.
No one has lost a bowl game as badly as you did.
TCU is included in that statement, by the way. Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Yeah. They need an unconquered till we quit. Jason Campbell is exactly right, because they did quit. Their team quit on their program.
That's so rude.
Have you seen the Florida State Stadium right now, by the way? Dude, look it up. I'll entertain the people for a minute. Like, Google Doak Campbell Stadium and look at the state it's in right now. I'm dead serious about this. Look it up. I do think, by the way, while I go there, that you're going to, like, the steroid era in baseball and the NIL have this in common. They're both going to be eras we look back on and be like, man, you remember how this used to be the case? Because it's going to change, just like steroid era did in baseball. So I'm worried now that, as you're looking it up, that Florida State is not going to have – no, that ain't it. They're not going to have – put in a Doak Walker Stadium construction. Like, they have torn down half of their stuff right now. They literally don't have a stadium on one side of the field currently. This is – I'm dead serious with this. I saw it on Twitter this week. It's got to be real, unless it's not.
Yeah. Hey, there's AI stuff coming out there all the time, man.
But apparently they're redoing their stadium right now, and they've literally torn down half of it. I saw it on Twitter. Surely it's out there. Y'all can trust me with this. But I think they're gonna have an issue getting it ready. They may have some portable bleachers that come into play this year for the season they're with. Florida State's kind of a crappy place, by the way, if you ever are down there. It's not as nice as we probably think Bobby Bowden made it seem in the 90s. So, but
wow,
look at that. There you go. Look at that, man. Like, that's like current. That's like last week, by the way.
Jeez. That is insane.
So,
it's in a whole
Look at that. So, I mean, it's going to be like Vanderbilt when we played them up there last year with the flags flying over the stadium. So, it's crazy. Hey, it,
but that, but they're unconquered, man. That's you can do that when you're unconquered. Hey, Bob Fiber's got, he's like Bandy-style construction.
Bandy-style construction. That's it. So, Rhett Womack watches pretty much every week. Always comments. We appreciate that. Yeah, we got a few minutes left, Roddy. I mean, I need our listeners to send me a few questions. Send me what we got. We could finish.
Well, here's one for you. I like this one. From Stoli, STOLI. It says, which team will be the toughest to beat on the road this season, and which team will be the toughest to beat at home next year?
Ooh, I'll have to see the schedule on that. I mean, look,
this season, you just flip them. So
yeah, that's right. I think the Texas game this year turned into a really hard game because one, that stadium is going to be electric when Georgia comes there. I think Steve Sarkisian is a really good football coach. The longer he's at his program, gets his guys there, the better he is. And then you got Quinn Ewers playing quarterback, by the way, who is a multi-year starter, a high-level guy who's being pushed by Arch Manning, if you saw their spring game, by the way. So he's going to be locked in, dialed in. They've got as much talent as anywhere in the country. They're one of probably the four or five programs that just from a pure talent standpoint can line up with Georgia and not just get mollywopped the second the fourth quarter starts on. So if I look ahead this year, I mean, look, there's a lot – it's a hard schedule. But to me, the Texas game this year – is probably going to be that tough game. I mean, you just don't know. The tough thing about Alabama this year, you have no idea what you're going to get with the Kalen DeBoer stuff. You know, we're
It'll be his first SEC game.
That's hard. And they're going to be, but they're going to be jacked out of their mind. And look, Kalen DeBoer, we're all glad Nick Saban's gone, right? From just a winning football game standpoint, we're glad Nick Saban's gone because he is the GOAT. Nick Saban, you can quote me on this right now in this moment in history. Nick Saban is the greatest college coach in the history of college football. He has passed everybody else. You know, Kirby may have a shot to catch Nick Saban, but Kirby's got to go a lot longer at the level he's at to catch Nick Saban. But, I mean, yeah, you could argue Bear Bryant. You could argue some of the others in there. But with as hard as college football is, Nick Saban's the greatest college football ever been. He's retired. Great. We're super, super excited about that. And, Kalen DeBoer, we don't even know his last name. We don't even know how to spell it. Who is this guy? If you look at his record, man, everywhere he's been really successful as a football coach. Everywhere he's been successful quickly. And the good thing for him, he's a good X's and O's guy. And this year, he still has you don't know how he can recruit yet. That's the big deal. But right now, he's still got all the Saban's players and a freaking loaded roster once again. So, I mean, I still think Texas, just because Sarkisian's there, more of a proven commodity. But that's a murderer's row of games we got in there with Texas and Alabama being the two biggest ones on the road this year. So as far as next year, no clue, man. We don't even know who our quarterback will be after this year. But just for this year, I mean, I got my eyes on that Austin game.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's going to me be the toughest one. Ole Miss is going to be tough. They've revamped their defense, so I can see that. Then you get those three coming back into Athens the following year in 2025. I could see Texas again because now maybe it's the year of Arch Manning.
Yep.
So they will have a good quarterback. I don't know what Alabama could have. It would be Georgia's luck for DeBoer to be like the carbon copy of Nick Saban. That would not even Georgia's. It would be Alabama's luck. They have a horseshoe someplace, you know, and I could see it happening. Also, though, I would be happy to see them go through the whole series of mics that they did.
Yeah, I was thinking Mike Price. Yeah, they had a bad run, and we all remember it.
Yeah, it's like stop hiring coaches named Mike. It's not working for you.
No, Nick seemed to work for him. So I mean, it makes you excited as a competitor for what's coming in these next 2 years from a scheduling standpoint. I feel like they're finally making it up to us for all these years of crappy home schedules we have, knowing what's coming the next 2 years because it's gonna be awesome.
And there are people paying a lot of money to get those new seats in Sanford Stadium, the ones where they basically got rid of the media row and they put in some very fancy seats. And there are a lot of people paid a ton of money. A lot of people paid a ton of money to own. They paid $5,000 to put in a hedge at Georgia. seen the list. There's
the Tanner family not getting any hedges planted this year over there. So.
And hey, you actually get to go out there and plant it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wait a minute. If I'm paying $5,000, I'm going to watch somebody
plant it. Yeah. I ain't put my hands in the dirt. Nah. This don't
I planted grass the other day and that rainstorm came through and just ruined everything. I'm like, I ain't doing that ever again. We're just not going to have grass. That's,
yep.
Forget that. Yep. I want to end on this because I'm very proud of this. And I want to let folks know, hey, this June 25th and 26th in Jacksonville, we're having the Rivals 5-star. Now, we've done this in the past where we basically invite 104 of the top players in the country.
Yeah.
Fly them in free of charge. There's no charge for our camps. There's no charge for the Rivals camps. And if your kid is paying to go to a camp, stop it. Just stop it. I don't care whose camp it is. Exposure camps, that's such BS. Don't pay for a camp. So come to the Rivals camp. But we're going to take 104 of the top players in the nation. We're going to take them down to Jacksonville. We'll be working out and competing at the Jacksonville Jaguars facility. We've done this in Atlanta. We've done it in Chicago, Baltimore, Indianapolis. So we've been at the Colts facility. We've been in Baltimore Stadium. We've been at Soldier Field in Chicago. We've been in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We were in the Georgia Dome one year. Mm-hmm. But this year we'll be in the Jaguars facility. So these kids get to go and be at an NFL team's facility,
right.
Work out there, do 7-on-7s, do combine type stuff, you know, bench press, who's fastest, who's strongest. The 7-on-7 is fun. The big man challenge is always good. And we haven't been able to do it. We stopped it for COVID. And then when we came back, we were doing the underclassmen challenge. But now this is the class of 2025 guys, and the top ones are going to Jacksonville. So it is going to be an absolute riot. And it was just announced today that's coming back. So it's a Rivals exclusive, just like last week we had the Rivals challenge. I mean, the Rivals camp in Atlanta. We had tons of guys there. But the 5-star's back, and I'm just thrilled to death.
I look, man, that's the off-season stuff that we love these days. I mean, it's great content. And these guys, I don't think the average fan realizes how much of physical freaks these high school kids are becoming. And if these 100 kids are coming in, I mean, you're going to see probably 80% of them in the NFL 5 years from now. I mean, it's crazy what happens with that. So dude,
we had one year that in the 7-on-7, it was Justin Fields versus Trevor Lawrence, and Matt Corral had a team as well.
Yeah.
The Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields 7-on-7 battle went nip and tuck to the very end. And Justin Fields actually pulled out the win on a last second thing, throwing to a Georgia receiver target. It was Georgia commit. It was nuts. But then Trevor actually won like one of the accuracy contests. So he was named a quarterback MVP. And Pablo Fields is very ticked off about that. So we didn't get to talk to them for a while after that. But no, I mean, when you look down the list of all these guys who are not only in the NFL, but are in NFL Pro Bowls, how many of those guys we've had at these rival camps? We're the only ones that do this. No one else flies these kids for free and puts them up for 3 days with their family and let them go to, you know, the Baltimore Ravens Stadium and work out there. And, you know, all the guys, all the NFL guys are up in that box going, oh, yeah, who's that? Who's that? They're not as close to, but
I can't wait. I'll tune in.
Anyway, we'll let everybody know that that's coming. So we're going to have some fun stuff in the future here. Anyway, that's all time we have for this week's show. I got to go eat dinner. I told you, I'm the fat guy behind the screen. Got to eat every 15 minutes or I'll die. For Russ Tanner, I'm Roddy DeBolsey. We will see you next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. And hopefully we'll know a little bit more about what's going on with the transfer portal. We'll be able to talk about that and get your questions in for next year, for next week, because we'll be taking a lot of questions next week. Take care.
Go Dawgs.